It sounds like these readings are not going to go together, but they are. Our epistle reading today is from Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out that awesome Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Be in our hearts and in our minds, and let us know that you are here in this place speaking to us. We pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. One reason I changed the scripture is because I just got back last night from a great mission conference in Dallas, and I just wondered if any of you have ever felt similarly, like a little harried, a little busy. Dumb question, right? All of us are usually too busy with a little bit of everything. Sometimes it's work, school, community stuff. A lot of times it's just our own families and our own home. And our kids are just as busy as the adults, aren't they? We are busy people, and it's even more than that. We are competitive people. That seems to be a part of modern life too. We're supposed to run and run and run and be more and more and more busy than all the other people who are running around like chickens with their heads cut off. So when we hear in church that we are supposed to run a race, it makes me want a nap. What is Hebrews really saying to us? And what on earth does it have to do with John 15? Is this really about running and doing and staying even more busy with our faith? Are we supposed to just add to our to-do list for God? What kind of race is this? When we look at it, when we look at the verses, we see that it's a marathon, not a sprint, and it requires some important things like patience and perseverance and preparation. It says we have to let go of anything that is holding us down or holding us back. Now think about that, because that's starting to sound more like John 15. Jesus says, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withered. The truth is, Hebrews 12 is about a very strange race, because there's something important not mentioned that we would assume. There is no mention of competition. None. With anyone. Think about that for a minute. This is not a competition. There is not a first, second, third, or last place. This weekend, I was at this missions conference in Dallas, supported by our synod and the Next Church organization, and the title was Cultivated Ministry, which doesn't sound anything like a race, but hang in there with me. Cultivated ministry is a way of doing and evaluating mission and ministry in our own lives and in our churches, and it's not about competition. Now, competition among Christians and churches is so common, isn't it? We love to compare and label one another. And what do we often use to compare, say, our church to other churches? Well, we usually use what they called at the conference, the big three B's: buildings, bucks, and butts, as in the pews. We do compare. We compare our buildings. We compare our money. We compare the number of people that are there. And we judge our success on those things, which, when you think about it, is crazy. Cultivated ministry is about looking at mission and ministry like looking at fruit growing on a vine, which is why we heard John 15 and Jesus saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing." Cultivated ministry says we're here to grow fruit, good fruit, fruit that will last, which is not the same thing as the big three B's. Now, I'm not saying that facilities and money and number of people don't matter. It's just that those are not the metrics that God calls us to use to measure success in faith or ministry. There is such a thing, and I have seen it many times right here, as spiritual success, even when the bank account is small and the building is tiny and the volunteers are few, and it's called bearing fruit. What if instead of calling something or someone successful, we call them fruitful? This life of faith, a ministry that's cultivated the way that Jesus wants for us, is about asking whether what we have is growing like fruit on a vine, or whether we need to prune something or throw something away so that new good fruit can grow. Do you see the difference? We usually focus on all of the numbers, and we frame everything with winners and losers. But if we take a minute to look at how Jesus looked at the world when he talks so many times about seeds growing and fruit growing, we start to get some different ways of doing and evaluating ministry, right? That's what we talked about at this conference. We talked about how to evaluate good fruit, how to prune, how to let go of things instead of just focusing on bucks, buildings, and butts. This is a different way. This is what Jesus is talking about in John 15, but it's also about this running the race with our eyes on Jesus. It's not to say that we don't sit around and think about how to measure things, because anything important in ministry can be measured. It's just how we measure it. And we look at three things: the input, the resources of people and money and time, the output, what we want to end up with. And we look at the impact, why this matters and how it's going to change lives. When we serve as Christians, we should ideally think about the end, the impact, before we even begin. For instance, if we want to give youth of Owosso a safe place and good relationships, we use that goal to figure out how and when and where to do that ministry for youth. We have to look at the things that we have, like our resources, and we have to look at the output of ministry that we want for them, and the impact, which ideally is that safe space, those good relationships. Right now we're doing this. We're in the process of re-envisioning our whole youth cafe. This fall, it is not going to open the same way. We feel like God wants us to transform it into something new and different, prune it a little bit, because we want something that bears more and more fruit, which is not just about numbers, but it is about faithfulness. And faithfulness to our mission, which in this church is to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. In this mission, we want to especially love the youth. In order to do that, we use our resources, and we're going to set up shop out on the church lawn, Sarah and volunteers, for a few weeks to gather out there, give them some water and snacks, and hear their stories about what they want for a safe and welcoming space. And our hope is, our prayer is, that God will use that time to help us create something new, that God will create something new in order to serve the youth. Now, this is a very exciting way of doing ministry, and also very, very scary. The easiest thing we could do is say, we're just gonna close that youth cafe. We'll save that money, it didn't work out the way we wanted. But is that running a race with your eyes on Jesus? Is that abiding in Jesus to bear good fruit? At this missions conference, we talked about the importance of a few things that you need to think about as a person who follows Jesus. This is different than the way the world works. One of them is theology, which is a big word that just means God stuff. God talk. The reasons behind what we do and why we do it. The faith that's underneath it. We also talked about mutual accountability, how we hold ourselves accountable to one another in our community. And we talked about the importance of learning as you go. Now, this was really neat. We talked about how failure in the church is not failure. It's just an opportunity to grow and learn. When we evaluate ministry, when we ask ourselves, was this successful? We don't just count the number of people or the amount of money or the size of the event. Instead, we ask, why are we doing this? Why does it matter? How is it going to change lives? And instead of looking at statistics, we listen to things like stories, which is different. It's more challenging, but it's also more rewarding, isn't it? We learned that theology and accountability and learning and storytelling are ways of cultivating ministry and bearing fruit, which I think is similar to running this race of faith, looking all the time at Jesus. All of that is different than the three B's. All of that is different than comparing ourselves and complaining about what we think we don't have. And that is our default, isn't it? We each do this in our own lives. We compare ourselves to other people. Oh, she is a much stronger Christian than I am. Oh my gosh, God probably hears his prayers a lot more than mine. Oh, I could never serve the way that she does. Oh, I don't have that kind of time, energy, money. The list goes on and on and on. And we do the same thing with our churches, right? We compare ourselves to the bigger churches and we think we're inferior. How many times have we said things like, we don't have enough people for that. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough kids and youth. We don't have enough of a facility. We can't do anything. But Jesus says, he is the vine and we are the branches. He doesn't say you will be a branch if you have enough bucks and building and butts. He says you are the branches right now. You are on the vine. Jesus said, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, and apart from me you can do nothing. That's exactly what Hebrews is talking about when we get on this race and turn our eyes to Jesus. We are supposed to be people with a focus. And our focus is not ourselves. Our focus is Jesus, who he wants us to be, what he wants us to do, like grow fruit, keep on running. That's totally different than the competition to see who's better or who's best. And there's something else amazing in the race of faith that I mentioned to the kids, their coloring page. Not only do we not compete or compare or complain in this race of faith, instead we have a cheering section. Have you ever thought about that? That all those biblical ancestors, all the saints that have gone before you in your life, that they are cheering us on, encouraging us along the way. Those are the people who ran this race of faith before us. What if we lived like we believed that? What if we lived like people who knew they were being cheered on each and every step of the way? What if we lived like people who are not in a competition to see who's winning and losing? What if we really believed deep down in our hearts that we're called to bear fruit? If we really lived this way, we wouldn't ever have to worry about what our neighbor is doing compared to what we're doing. Ideally, our eyes are in one place. It's all too easy to measure success the way the world does. You know, like the super Christians, oh, and the rest of us. The winners and the losers. The big churches, oh, and the little ones. But in this race, that is not it. This is not about winning and losing. Our goal is to focus on Jesus. I was reading in the Christian Century magazine on July 3rd about zero-sum logic and zero-sum game theory. Now, I had no idea what that meant, so I kept reading. Well, apparently there's a lot of it in our world today. As they were describing it, it goes like this. One party's gain requires another party's loss. If there is a winner, there is a loser. If I have something, you don't have it. And in our culture right now is this idea that somebody must win and somebody must lose. And we see it in every economic, legislative, and political decision. And it's crazy. It's crazy logic. It doesn't have anything to do with the way we live as Christians. It's definitely not of Jesus. Even though Christians often espouse this kind of thinking, oh, my salvation means that they don't get any. Zero-sum logic is about scarcity, but in reality, our God is a God of abundance. Our God brings fruit, not you have some, you have none. It's not true that there's only so much love of God to go around. We believe that to give is to receive, to shower other people with blessings is to be blessed. We don't have to have the winners and losers or compete. God's race is not about that. It's about the focus. Eyes on the prize. Eyes on Jesus. Remember what happened when Jesus walked on water? Who was in the boat? Peter. Peter was in the boat, and Jesus called to Peter and said, "Come out to me on the water." And does anyone remember what happened? He got out, and he walked on the water until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he looked at the wind and the waves, and he started to sink. That's our calling. Eyes on Jesus. Eyes on the prize. And when we do that, something amazing happens. When we do that, in this verse in Hebrews, it says that we receive something. Listen to this again. We look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy set before him, endured the cross. The joy set before him. This journey of faith, this life on the vine, all of it has a purpose, and the purpose is joy, which I love. I love that. And that's what the cheering section is all about, too. It's all about finding that joy. When I compare that to this rat race of the world, I want this one. I want to bear fruit. I want to be a branch that bears fruit. I want to be a runner that keeps their eyes on the prize. The person who makes all things possible is Jesus, not us. And I'm sure not saying that all that's easy. If you back up in Hebrews 11, wow. You read those stories of the Hall of Faith, you'll learn that the race is challenging. Some days it makes you want to cry. A lot of days it makes you want to give up. That's why we have our eyes on Jesus, because he went through all of that too. He suffered. He did cry. He did want to give up. But he kept on running that race. Why? For the joy. I'm not a runner, especially not today. So I don't really know what runners go through when they go on a long distance run, but I have heard from friends that there is a runner's high, a place where the adrenaline is pumping in your body and that joy of running overcomes any of the pain. What if we could have that kind of joy? I believe we can. Jesus' joy came from knowing the Father's love. Jesus' joy did not come from a stable home, a steady income, a respectable job, a nice house, or even a family. Jesus' joy did not come from having a gigantic synagogue and a whole bunch of disciples. His joy came from looking to God, knowing that love. So what do you say, friends? What if we join that race of faith? What if we live like branches on the vine bearing fruit? I don't know about you, but I think that sounds wonderful. And that is our good news of the gospel today. May we run the race set before us with our eyes on Jesus. May we live our lives wanting to bear fruit, good fruit. And may we have the hope that when we do that, we will find joy. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Friends, please stand. Let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 34.